Praise God for the opportunity for us to together meditate God's word. This morning, the portion before us is Daniel chapter 1. We just heard the reading of God's word, and the message is entitled Daniel, the man who purposed against proposed. Daniel, the man who purposed against that which is proposed. The word purposed means determined. So it can be restated. Daniel, the man who determined in his heart to follow the plan and will of God against the situations that he was facing. Is it possible to live a life that is pleasing to God when we are surrounded by situations that are not that much helpful? We know this world, how much alien to us, in the sense that the oppositions, the circumstances that you face in this world is extremely challenging and difficult to testify that God, Jesus, is our Savior. This world is not for us, my dear friends. Rather, this world is against us. But what should we do? God prepared this world for us to live and to bear testimony that we are the children of God. How possible it would be for us to continue to persevere, continue to live for Christ in the midst of all the challenges we are facing. If you want to know how possible it is, this morning I want to take you through the man Daniel. Daniel was a man who determined in his heart that he will follow his God, his Master, his Lord, his Creator. When he was so much pressurized by the system that where he was living in, he was so determined that he was even willing to, if needed, sacrifice his life. Because later you will realize he was challenging the established system in a very powerful kingdom, that's Babylon. And a king who is so brutish, so heathenistic, so evil. His name was what? Nebuchadnezzar. But he did not give up. Daniel did not give up. As a result, for his perseverance, for his determination, as we read through the book of Daniel, we could see God used this man in a very magnanimous manner, in a very powerful manner, to reveal to the Church of God one of the most wonderful prophecies recorded in the entire Bible. In the book of Daniel, we have many prophecies, but one of the prophecies recorded in Daniel chapter 9, if I mention that particularly to you, that prophecy gives us the panoramic view of God's plan for the world from the time of Daniel all the way to the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's called the 70 weeks of prophecy of Daniel. You must study that. That gives us the understanding that Jesus will come. He's the first coming. Daniel prophesied the first coming of Christ and the church age and the second coming of Christ. Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of prophecy. And so many other prophecies. The book of Daniel is so precious for Christians even today to be greatly encouraged and strengthened. The reality of the kingdom of God, the reality of heaven and earth, the reality of evil, Satan's attacks. Daniel talks about 7 years of the Antichrist's rule. All the details. 3.5 period he will make peace with Israel. And then the second half, 3.5 years. That is the 70th week. And there will be persecutions and all the struggles. You know, God revealed all those futuristic things going to happen through the mouth of this man. We thank God for the life of Daniel. We thank God for the prophecy Daniel recorded. But all happened, my dear friends, because of one man who's consecrated life. That's the point this morning I want to bring to your attention. We have been studying the heroes of faith in the Bible. Why they are heroes of faith? I have been constantly reminding every one of them. Every one of them has been just ordinary men. But they found the love of God. And they were gripped by the love of God. When they found the love of God and when they were gripped by the love of God, they were so captivated by the power of God, they surrendered their lives. And when they surrendered their lives, what happened? The Lord took them in their hands. The Lord took them in their hands. Last almost 1 year or even more, we have been studying the lives of those men and women in the Bible. They were heroes of faith, not because of they were extraordinary people, but they were obedient to the call of God, the plan that the Lord has for them. As a result, God could use them in His hands. So for us, as we come to the Lord and as we surrender our lives to the Lord would use us. If the Lord can use Isaiah, if the Lord can use Jeremiah, if the Lord can use Ezekiel, the Lord can use Daniel, if the Lord can use Moses, Joshua, why not our lives? Why not? The Lord can truly, truly use us, my dear friends. The Lord can truly, truly use our lives. So this is my earnest plea before God. This is my earnest plea that my life would be an instrument in God's hand in a most profitable manner. My life. And I can only pray for you that your life, that the Lord can use your life in a most profitable manner. And He can use you when you and I, surrender our lives according to His plan and will. That's what exactly Daniel did. Daniel, a man who purposed in his heart, who determined in his heart against all the temptations, against all the trials that came toward him, he determined in his heart. Just a little bit of the background. Daniel's life. Last week I briefly mentioned while talking about Ezekiel. Daniel lived during the time of the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem. And Daniel was taken during the first captivity. When was the first captivity? In the year 605. Okay. When the first captivity was happened, Daniel was maybe a very young lad, 15 or 16 years, and he is a teenage. So he was taken along with his relatives when he was just a small boy into Babylon. And Daniel lived the rest of his life in Babylon. He ministered in the court of the king Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a king who always looking around for talented young men. He put them into the palace court, trained them, washed their minds, brainwash was done upon them, and then used their intelligence, used their wisdom to build the nation. And that's why this Hebrew boy, together with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, by the way, these names, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Sister Anju read, you might have noticed, even Daniel's name was Belshazzar. All these were the Chaldean name, not the Jewish name. The Jewish name for Belshazzar, Daniel. For Shadrach, Hananiah. For Meshach, Mishael, Meshach, to Azariah, Abednego. They were all having a beautiful, very meaningful Hebrew name. Daniel literally means God. It's a Hebrew name. God is my judge. That was changed into a heathenistic name, Belshazzar, means Bel, the heathen god of the Babylonians, will protect. Then Nebuchadnezzar did this in order to put pressure on these young boys that they would follow the system of the heathenistic way and practices of Babylon, that they would forget their custom and their system which their forefathers gave to them, the way of Yahweh, the way of God. I will come back to that later. But Daniel lived all through these 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. He ministered until the Persians, the Medo-Persians came up and took over Babylon. Remember the king Cyrus the king, who was the one who allowed the captives to go back in the year 536 BC. Daniel lived till that period, even beyond. But he could never return to his hometown, Jerusalem. He never returned. He stayed back and he died and buried in Babylon in captivity. But the system of Babylon, although he had to give his life for that heathen nation, the system of Babylon was never able to touch the integrity, the godliness, the godly heritage God gave to Daniel. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. And that's why this morning I propose this title for this message. Daniel, a man who purposed, who determined in his heart
that I will not go along with the temptations that I would be facing in Babylon. He determined to follow his master and his Lord. Three things this morning let me bring to your attention from this passage, dear friends. First, Daniel was a man who was brought up in a well-favored way. You take a look into verse 3 now. The book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. And the king, that's Nebuchadnezzar, spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed, the king's descendants, and of the princes. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar was very clever, huh? Royal children. Children from Jerusalem who come from the royal line. Very brainy, very talented. Children who were brought up in a very good conditions, so that he could use them, their wisdom, their brain, their power, their talents for the nation Babylon. So that was Daniel, and that was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, well brought up, well behaving, skillful in all wisdom. Possessing good knowledge, quick to understand science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. That these boys could be taught the Babylonian system, and they could be changed, easily transformed into the culture and to the wisdom of Babylon, so that they can contribute to the nation building of Babylon. That was Nebuchadnezzar's plan when he plucked, when he snatched away young lives from the land of Jerusalem. But interesting thing that we notice here, Daniel and the other three boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all of them were brought up in godly manner. In the Hebrew, in the Jewish way. By whom? By their parents back in Jerusalem. That is so important that we must understand. How could all these four young men, whose names I just mentioned here, how could they withstand the pressure in the royal court of Babylon? Later you would see they will be very much pressurized. They were told that they have to change their lifestyle. They have to take a certain specially prepared food in the royal court of Babylon, that they would grow up as well-built body to take up the pressure they would be facing in the Babylonian court, that they would be physically well, mentally well, emotionally well, so that they can give wisdom to the king Nebuchadnezzar. They said, no nonsense. These things are against our custom. We are not going to touch any of those things. In order to say to a Babylonian officer in the palace, in the court of Babylon, you need guts. You need ability. You need strength. And how could it happen?
these children, they were brought up by their parents while they were in Jerusalem, in godliness, in the wisdom of God. And they knew that eating food offered to idols is wrong. They were taught that there's only one God need to be worshipped, Yahweh. They were taught that they have to preserve the heritage, the godly heritage. Yahweh is a heritage. Jehovah is the God. They can't worship any other God. You shall have no other God before me. The commandments of God that Moses taught Israel, those things were in the hearts of these four young men, because their parents taught them those things and brought them up in righteousness, in godliness. A man brought up in godliness, Christian heritage, if we bring up our children in godly manner, this is a point I want to bring to your attention, my first point. If we bring up our children in the godly manner, they would be able to withstand what? The test of time. The test of time. One of the great challenges that today parents are facing is bringing up our children. I know many of you, the headaches and the heartaches that we face in Christian parenting. The challenge is so enormous. It is not an easy thing. But possible to bring our children in godliness when we determine in our hearts that I want to give my children the godly heritage. The Hebrew culture was very much involved that way. And that's why in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, that great passage where that hero Israel, where the Lord reminds Israel how to reach out to children in their young age. When they lie down, when they walk, when they sit, when they eat, when they, you know, go around. Every time remind the children, our God is one Lord and God, the monotheistic God. Don't give up teaching our children. We should never be tired teaching our children, to again and again remind them that children belong to the Lord. That they need to be taught the principles of God. I would say before they say 1 plus 1 is 2. 2 plus 2, 4. They would be able to say, Jehovah is my God. Jesus is my Savior. Are we determined? Are we determined, my dear friends? Godly homes, godly heritage. We Christians are responsible to bring our children in well-favored manner, favored before God. And when they are favored before God, they would be favored before men as well. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all these four young men, they were brought up according to the Jewish manner, knowing Jehovah as their God. So that when the trying times came for them in an alien land, they stood the test of time. When our children, when our families, when we send to other nations, away from all the people around, will they survive? When our children away from us, from our parents, will they stand for the Christian truth? only possible if we are determined to bring them up in godliness. Responsibility is with us, my dear parents. Shall we move on? The next thing that we see from a man of well-forward upbringing, Daniel, a man of resolution. A man of resolution. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed, from where I got my title, purposed versus proposed. Daniel purposed means what? Daniel determined. Oh, we need so much determination today, that my children will not go after the ungodly friends. I will not send my son or my daughter into a non-Christian friend to spend the night. Are you determined? There will be so much pressure. Daddy, mommy, I want to go out. Stay in the night with my friends. Who are your friends? Oh, they are so and so. Okay, we know. Okay, go and stay there. They would be influenced by the system and the patterns. Our children, you know, as they live in the world, they do not need much time to be taken away by the devil. This world is so evil and so sinful. Just the nick of time. We must always, parents, listen to my words. We must be watching over our children. Who are their friends? The language that they speak is extremely difficult. But that's where we need the determination. We need the guidance and help of the Lord. The Lord will help us. We pray. We see Daniel. As Daniel's parents were very much giving him a godly upbringing. And Daniel also learned the lesson. Daniel says here, he determined in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. What is wrong with the king's meat? The king's delicacies in the Babylonian court, as the nation Babylon itself was a heathenistic Baal, the goddess, a heathenistic nation. Perhaps their food would be first offered into their idols. And according to the Jewish way, there is only one God. And food offered to idols, they could not partake. It is as if they are joining in worshipping idols. That's what we just learned in our 1 Corinthians class. Don't say that idol is nothing and I can just simply partake the food that my Hindu friend bring to home. If you know that it is offered to the idol, please do not partake. You would be participating in idol worship. It's a very serious matter. Paul, in very detail, very much detail, explains this in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, 10. We just had a study of that passage for the last few weeks. Very serious matter. And who knew it? Daniel knew it. meat that is offered to idol gods and goddesses in the court of Babylon, the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. Perhaps it would be brought to us, delicious food and all kinds of drinks. Though it may give physical nourishment and they would be strong, spiritually it would defile them, right? That's what Daniel says here, that he would not defile himself. Two times that word defile mentioned in that verse. Take a look into that. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine he drank. This is not just tasting wine. In the palace court, you may even be drunk. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Determination. This is a determination. I will not defile with the evil things of the world. Children, please take note. Your friends may use all kinds of nonsense and get into all kinds of things. But you are Christian children, brought up in a covenantal home, brought up in a covenantal church. So what do you say when some of your friends come? Can you come along with me this evening? You'll go and watch something. What would you say? What would you say to your friend? I cannot come. That's all. I am a child of God. I cannot come. Don't say that, let me go and check my papa and mama, and then if they give me the permission, I will come. Don't ever say like that. There itself you say, I cannot come. I am a child of God. That is what? Determination. I cannot defile myself. I am a child of God. For you to say that, you no need. You no need to get permission from your papa and mama, because they have already explained those things to you. Daniel determined in his heart that the defiling things of Babylonian's court, I cannot be influenced by those things. I am a child of God. And those who are working in the secular world, you know what I mean here. The enormous temptations that we face in the secular world. We cannot go after the secular patterns. We take a stand for Christ. We take a stand for Christ. And the Lord would bless us. And I know some of you facing this great challenge. Sunday I need to work in my office. Right? Many of you face this challenge. Sunday I need to work. The world will not allow you to go to Sunday and worship the Lord, because what they have to do with worshipping the Lord on Sunday morning? They do not know anything about Yahweh, Jehovah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the big thing? You come. We will give you an increment. We will give you a Sunday bonus. Please come. But please remember, these are the deceptions of the world and the devil, the defilement. If you are truly, truly determined to bring up a godly home, to be a testimony to the society that we live in this world, not for the world, but for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we must be determined and say to that boss, sir, please, Sunday is the Lord's day. I need to be in the house of the Lord. I need to worship my God. Can you please excuse me? Can you please excuse me? It's so important. And for that reason, I would encourage
Sunday tuition system is there. Parents, godly parents, if you want to win your children for God, if you want to win your children for God, please determine in your heart, I will not send my son, my daughter for Sunday tuition, forbidding them to go to the Lord's house for worship, for Sunday class or whatever. You would regret later if you do not take a decision in the presence of God. You will regret. Take my word, my dear brothers and sisters. It would be too late. It would be too late. So when children are young, we make that determination. Tell our children, as we ourselves as parents, honor the Lord's Day. It is holy. We communicate to our children, the Lord's Day is the day of worship. We as a family must be in the house of the Lord to worship and serve the Lord. Let our children be brought up in that understanding, that their mind would not be corrupted, their heart would not be defiled. My dear friends, these are so serious matters. Today have been so much neglected by Christian parents. So unfortunate. But we, as we learn God's word, take a decision for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the Lord's kingdom, for the Lord's church, for the safety and well-being of our homes, our churches, our societies. These are so paramount for us. Paramount for us. Daniel said, "Oh, my master, I cannot taste. I cannot take this food." So Daniel proposed, "Why don't you take 10 days? Why don't you take 10 days? For 10 days you test me. You test me and the other, my three friends. We would not be taking your delicious food because that is against our custom. Rather, you give me just some seeds, pulse, and some water. For 10 days you test us. And after the 10th day you come and examine us." The king's servant, the master who was assigned to look after these boys, he agreed. "Okay, for the next 10 days, as you said, I will only give you pulse, seeds, and some water." And they took it. And after the 10th day, he came to examine. Verse 12, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us vegetables, some pulse to eat, and just some water to drink." Verse 15, "And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portions of king's meat." What a wonderful thing. The king's servant, their master, agreed. So after the 10 days of test, he came to examine them. And what was the result? These four boys, they were fairer than all the other boys. They were fed with the king's special meat, special food. In other words, God interfered. God involved. And in fact, that's the last point. A man whose fidelity to God rewarded. A man, Daniel was a man whose faithfulness to God was rewarded. Fidelity, our faithfulness. When we determine ourselves in the presence of God, I will not defile by the worldly patterns, by the worldly system,
I will take a stand for God. We can challenge the world. You test us. We can challenge the world. You test us. Whether my family will be in the drains over here. Or God's sovereign blessings and guidance and mercies be upon us. This is what exactly happened in the case of Daniel and the other three boys. They challenged the Babylonian system. They challenged the Babylonian systems. And they honored God. The result, their countenance, their appearance was much, much 10 times better. 10 times better than the other boys, the other people who were fed by the king's meat and king's delicacies, delicious food. When we honor God, brothers and sisters, will God honor us? Will God honor us? Yes! Now, I told you, since some time back, I shared with some of you the testimony of one of our church members. He could not come to our church now because he was transferred from here to another place for his work. Bapa is his name. I'm talking about Bapa. Bapa was telling me for many, many years, Pastor, I have to go to the office. He was working in a restaurant. The restaurant, the guys are saying, you know, Sunday also I need to come. And they put so much pressure. And while he was coming to our church, he worked till midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And then he rushed back to his room and take a nap for just a few hours. And early in the morning, he get up. And 9 o'clock Sunday school, he was coming to our church. And somehow rushed through the worship service. Immediately after the worship service, he was not able to stay back for fellowship. By 1:30, he has to report to his restaurant. And then that goes all the way midnight. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. That was his schedule almost every day. He struggled to come to church. And later, his boss was pressurizing him to come on Sunday morning. For restaurant people, Sunday is big business day. And finally, it was so difficult, the pressure, he decided to quit. One day he called me and said, Pastor, I am quitting my job. This is what I am facing, so much, you know, pressure in my heart and there's no peace. I can't take it any longer. So I am quitting this job. And do you know what has happened to him? He got another job. Sunday off, completely off. And the other days, he no need to work overnight and all, the normal 8 to 9 hours of work. And today he is so happy, he's able to go to the church and worship the Lord. And you know the other thing that happened, now he gets a better pay. From the new job, he has a better pay, a better salary. When we honor the Lord will honor us. And that's what exactly we see in the case of Daniel and the other three boys. A man whose fidelity, whose faithfulness to God would be rewarded. We take a stand for Christ. We take a stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. It even surprised Nebuchadnezzar. It even surprised Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 18, now at the end of the days that the kings had said he should bring them in, then the princes of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. In other words, these four boys outsmarted the Babylonians, the Babylonian boys who were fed by the nutritious king's specially planned, prepared meal. God sovereignly involved, blessed them. That is the mighty power of God, my dear friends. Oh, it is so wonderful for us. Whom do we serve? Who is our God? We no need to desire for the riches and pleasures of this world, and you know, some places you go and you come and you know, you just say Jesus loves me and you come for external blessings and blessings. Whichever way you live, the other day when you get out of the church, nobody bothers. And they shout from the pulpit, all the blessings be upon you. That's not the way the Lord works. That's not the way the Lord works. When we surrender our lives sincerely to the hands of God, to the hands of God, to honor Him, that is what determination. That was purpose. I am purposed in my heart. The rest of the things, God will take care. Praise the Lord. God will take care. We must accept this. First and foremost, trust in the Lord. Secondly, be ready to surrender. Thirdly, be ready to stand up. Be ready to stand up. And fourthly, be ready to receive the blessings and the guidance of the Lord. What an encouraging account for us, dear friends. Daniel, a man who purposed in his heart that he will not accept the proposed way of this world, but he would stand up for Christ. Stand up for Jehovah. He was so much committed, he could even challenge the system. Had God abandoned him? No, not at all. God stood with him. God defended him. God defended him. And he lived all the way. Not only to serve Nebuchadnezzar, even to King Cyrus. May we follow this God, honor him with our lives. May the Lord's mercies be upon us, shall we pray.